Hey, Dave.
The 31st.
Yes.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Yep.
To open the public hearing, Mr. Hug.
Okay, the first item on the agenda tonight is a request for conditional use to allow a professional, or public, private, or professional school in the Industrial Office Research Park District. This is in the same building that the gymnastics program is in. Carolyn Bentley is opening cheerleading school for the cheerleading group that you all recognized a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, for their excellence in winning state, local, and national awards. These kinds of uses, school uses, are a conditional use, so they have to go through the through the conditional use process, but they are otherwise permissible in the IORP district, and in fact, there is at least one happening now.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of the application?
If I can interject, I know this is a class night for the for the school. I think Mrs. Bentley intends to be here, but she is aware of it.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition to the application? Any questions from Mr. Hug?
Again, what kind of school is this?
This is a competitive cheerleading school.
Oh. Okay.
Next door to Gymnastics Unlimited. This would be...
Same type of use, basically.
Same type of use. Yeah, same type of use.
Any other questions or comments? Want to move on to item two?
Okay. What I'm going to suggest is that you, for purposes of the hearing, that you consider items two and three together. When you get to the items specifically on the agenda, you have to vote on each of those independently in the order that they're presented. But a little bit of background. This is, I guess, for most of you, is known as part of the Jurgens Farm Annex now a number of years ago, three years ago, I guess. At the time of the annexation, the draft comp plan, which is still going through the final certification process, identified this for business and commerce uses. And the only available zoning district was the IORP, Industrial Office Research Park designation. But the language of the comp plan, both back at that point in time and as ultimately approved, envisioned the area up north of Duck Creek on both sides of the road, but particularly on the area on the portion between Route 13 and SR1. To be kind of a mix of uses, a blending of uses, so that we achieve some degree of community and not just one chunk of land for industrial, one for commercial, one for residential, and what have you. The applicants are here to make a presentation, and I would like to give them that opportunity. I'm stealing some of their thunder, I know, but this project has also been through the State Plus program. That's the land use review process that the state operates in the context of livable Delaware and some of the objectives of that program. And I guess it was only within the last couple of weeks, so it's a fairly recent review and also went to planning and zoning, and I'll get to their recommendations later. If there aren't any objections, I'd like to
Would the applicant like to...
Yes, whichever one of the applicants wants to come forward, Mr. Ryman, I guess.
You can grab that easel. There's actually one over here. Is this one easier to use over here?
Those should be all right.
My name is Mike Ryman. I'm a civil engineer with Becker Morgan Group. I'm here with Bobby Thompson and Ron Athey of KRM Development. They're the current owners of the property. Tonight we're here to request rezoning of a portion of the Jurgens parcel, approximately 85-86 acres, from IORP to R2A. The reason for that is to facilitate the development of this property as a whole. This project consists of two parcels. It's the Jurgens parcel and the Ream parcel. The Jurgens parcel is shown in yellow, the green being the portion that we're rezoning, and then the Ream parcel, not shaded, are these two pieces on split by Paddock Road. The total will create the project that we're envisioning, and that is shown here. Here.
Mike, you might want to just sort of hold that up a little bit if you can so that everybody can see it.
I'll just hold it like this, might be simpler. That is a mixed-use development of a business park primarily, some townhomes, residential along Duck Creek, and also some minor single-family on this remaining portion of the Ream parcel. Initially, when KRM had approached this property, the initial strategy was to develop the majority of this project as a business park, a mix of office, commercial, industrial. And through meetings with the town of Smyrna, through meetings with the state of Delaware, through meetings with DelDOT, it was requested that we consider some residential along the Duck Creek portion to help buffer Duck Creek, create a mixed-use development, work, live where you work kind of philosophy in accordance with current livable Delaware. So KRM thought about that and had decided that that's the route they'd like to go, and that's what you see here. So this rezoning is just the first step. We've got to come back and annex the Ream parcel, which we've submitted to the town of Smyrna, and we hope to do that here in the near future. And then, again, we've got to come back as part of the subdivision plan and make another presentation before you as well. There's also, in terms of infrastructure and utilities, there's agreements or discussions, negotiations, and hopefully agreements soon between the town of Smyrna, the state of Delaware, and Kent County for sewer. There's currently an existing line that runs actually on Paddock Road and adjacent to Route 1, which we hope that we can utilize. And we are also going to be dedicating a water tower location on the property for a future water tower site for the town of Smyrna as well, which will help provide water north of Duck Creek and to this project. That's pretty much it. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. We're obviously in support of this application.
Mike, how many residential units? This is what we're trying to do is go to a residential use in this green area, correct?
That is correct, and I don't know if maybe you can see it. It might be too far back there, but it's this portion shown here. It's preliminary at this point, Mr. Cahill, but roughly 200, 180, 200
okay.
is where we're looking.
200 housing units. Thank
correct.
You.
Correct.
Mr. Hogg, the State Planning Office supported this concept?
Yeah, actually, this project has had kind of an interesting evolution. Very early on when we talked to the state, both state planning and the economic development office, they were very excited because it did and still does represent a significant industrial potential, which the state is missing in this area. But the state does have, and both of those agencies, in fact, have been promoting it, this notion or this program called Live Where You Work or Live Near Where You Work or something. I'm not quite sure what the exact name is, but the idea that that they would like to see, they being the state, would like to see large projects have some components in them, some mix of components in them, for example, some commercial in an industrial complex, so that perhaps there would be, you know, a restaurant or some limited retail. They're very much in favor of the notion of residences above retail, you know, kind of mixing of sort of skilled professional uses in with light manufacturing and what have you. And so that's been the, in the course of, I guess what now, probably, guys, a year or more of discussions back and forth that we have all had, we being individually and collectively. The challenge was given to KRM to see if they could come up with a project that better fit some of the state's overall objectives and still achieved what Smyrna was trying to achieve, which is a, you know, an employment center that integrates into the community and into this sort of hopefully someday neighborhood up north of Duck Creek between 13 and 1 and the rest area. So I mean, it's a long way, I guess, of saying yes, but I wanted to give you kind of the feel of what the state's been asking them and us to think about.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to point out, too, I know when you look at this plan, it looks like a vast majority of the development is going to be residential. I mean, I know the green seems to outweigh the tan here. This component, which is portion of the ream, this is IORP. Well, when it's annexed, we would like it to be IORP. It will stay IORP and will make up Business Park as well. What you don't see on this plan, and you do see on our concept, is the berms and landscaping that we are providing between the business park and this residential. That is all on the residential portion. So there's, you know, at least 100 feet plus there that is, you know, buffer open space between the two. So, you know, I guess don't get too scared when you see that large area of green. There's also a large portion of the green that is wetlands, that's part of Duck Creek, that's not able to be developed, and we're buffering from those wetlands as well. In terms of density, what we think we'll get with that is around 2 to the acre, which, as you know, is very low for a townhouse development.
Has KRM done a development such as this in the past?
We've done primarily business park type of developments, but not necessarily a total mix. But we have done residential developments as well.
Let me ask you this. If you build this and the residential fills up before any industrial is, I'm sure I don't know if you have people who are interested who are going to build industrial kinds of situations in that area, but let's say you fill it up with people who have no interest in working and where they're living. Does that fulfill the goals of this? Because I assume that you're building along Duck Creek because that's a nice area. It might be a nice residential area. So that may fill up with people who are not going to work in those areas. I mean, is that a requirement that you work? Or
it's certainly not a requirement. The initial phase of this project is projected to be the business park. That's what these guys do. That's the majority of their work, and that's what they want to start with. Also, given the geometry of the site and where we have the residential position on the property, it's going to have to happen that way. It would be very difficult to start in the rear of the project and come out. So we see this portion here as being the initial phase of the project and the residential really as secondary to this.
So you're
but
not
completing
gonna,
the overall component.
You're going to build the industrial phase first.
Not the entire industrial phase. Typically, we go into this, and it's our experience has been it's difficult to have a facility.
Right.
And we will be building our own facility there initially, a shell facility to try to attract business. And the types of facilities that we build are really on the upper end, higher quality type of brick structures, that sort of thing, that we think will blend in nice with waterfront residential and maybe bring the same style or upper-end type business and residential user. I mean, hopefully that's the plan. But the initial phase will be one building, and we will grow as that building grows. We're not going to come in and I doubt that we would fill the total over 100 acres worth of business park immediately. It's a process.
So, what's your time frame, do you think?
Our time
frame? Or your timeline for all this?
Well, it's supply and demand. It's really how quickly. And typically, the way we do our business parks, we try to stay ahead of the curve. If we would initially put up a shell facility and that building got 50% filled, we would then start another building. So the quicker that's filled, the quicker we'll build the next building in line.
So I guess what I'm trying to envision is how much of the industrial area do you need to fulfill before you start the residential area?
I think it's more predicated upon the supply and demand within the residential market if there's demand, we will build this in sync with this. It's not that we have to generate occupancy here in our from an economic development standpoint or economically to be able to do this. That they don't go hand in hand that way. Does that make sense? Yeah, we have in our first facility, we I'm not sure the exact size of the first facility, but we will be putting a sister company of ours in there when that's completed.
I want to just point out, so everyone does understand, where the relationship to Paddock Road and where your main entrance is.
Well, Paddock Road is located right here, this being the intersection with Route 13. We've essentially split our frontage with our entrance, trying to push it back off of the access to Route 13, seemed to be the most convenient and create the best layout for the project.
Any other questions? Any other comments?
I have a comment. I don't know if I want to say it or not, though. I realize the state has a plan. I also realize that people don't go by plans usually. I'm sure the state program of work where you live and live where you work and all that is kind of idealistic. The housing boom that we're going through right now is due to the fact that people don't want to live where they work. They don't want to work where they live. That's why they've come to Delmarva, because a lot of them have lived in Jersey and worked in Jersey and Philadelphia and every place else. And quite frankly, the only thing I see here is a cashing in on the housing market, because it's along a creek with a bunch of townhouses. It was zoned industrial office, and I believe it should stay that way.
Any comments?
I have just one more. Having been with the state for many years in a complaint type of process, I can guarantee you put industrial research facility in front of a housing development, and you're going to get nothing but complaint from the residents that buy in there. It happens every time. It's been happening up north for 25 years.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of the application? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Can you please come forward and give your name and address for the record?
John Murphy, 5768 North DuPont Parkway.
Actually, it is right
there. I guess you could say I'm one of the NIMBYs, not in my backyard. Mr. Mullen, unfortunately, said about three-quarters of the things I wanted to say, that putting a housing development behind a business park and saying that the people are going to work in the business park is a fallacy, especially if you call it riverfront, although it's really a crick, but still the prices go up. And you're not going to have a man making $9 an hour in a business park living in a $300,000 townhouse. The whole crux of my complaint is I moved here 5.5 years ago. I bought attached to a farm. The farm gets annexed into Smyrna from Newcastle County. That was fight number one. So that's strike one. We lose. Then they tell us that it's going to be industrial and business park. We just learned to swallow that little bit of news, and then we hear that it's going to be R2. I have almost got myself acceptable to a business park instead of a farm. That's a long stretch when you think about it. I've been looking at over acres of crops every year, including 8 acres of mine, that I'm going to lose my farmer when everything is plowed under. I'm going to have to find somebody that can bring their equipment up my driveway, or I lose my agricultural and I start paying taxes on all 11 acres instead of just the acre and a half that my house is on. So I do have a financial dog in this fight, too. But basically, the town of Smyrna told us it was going to be a business park, and that's what I want to see it stay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Any other questions or comments?
I'd just like to make one comment. I'm hearing the back and forth and the different opinions here, and it seems like it boils down to either of two choices. Either all this land becomes business park development, or half of it business park, half of it residential. But one way or the other, it appears that all this land is going to be developed, one way or the other. What I am concerned about, if we go with the half residential, half business park angle here, is that the people in that residential area are not impacted severely by the business park. For example, if someone was running a 24-hour manufacturing facility in my backyard, I would not want this. So that's going to be a big concern. Mr. Murphy, because of where he lives, Mr. Murphy, because of where you live, you kind of don't have any choice. You know, whatever they do with that is what you're going to be stuck with.
It's up to you guys.
Right.
Basically, it is up to the council and mayor to either protect me or throw me out.
Well, I think either way, if I'm correct here, Mr. Hugg, you correct me if I'm wrong, that we really don't have any choice under our comprehensive land plan and the plans for the town other than certain development is going to happen, and we can't stop that. I think the only issue that we're being presented with here tonight is whether this particular parcel of land should go total commercial or part commercial, part residential. And frankly, I don't know what to do. I'm glad to hear all these differing opinions because I'm a little confused, and that's a good thing. That means I got some work to do before I make up my mind. Thank you.
Any other comments? Did you have a comment, Mr. Hood?
No, I was going to just, when you're done with this one, Mrs. Bentley is here, if you want to go back to item number
okay.
one.
All right, well, I will, seeing no one else come forward, I'll close the public hearing on that application. Mrs. Bentley, we reviewed your application. Did you want to make a quick comment, or you're more than welcome to, if you could.
Yeah, I'll come up to that.
Just give your name and address for the record, if you would.
I'm Carolyn Bentley, 2929 Clayton Delaney Road, Clayton, Delaware, 19938.
Any questions for Ms. Bentley? How many kids do you have in your program now?
46.
Great.
The whole purpose of this was to start it, so I've been in cheerleading for a long time, and I see kids, especially you got 12 spots open on a high school team, and you got 60 kids come out, and half the reason they can't go out and do this is because you can't afford it. So I wanted to open it up to more opportunity for all different kids from all walks of life, not just your higher-end kids. Quite frankly, I could have took my child probably anywhere that I wanted to, but I did this because I wanted to see something for the kids here in Smyrna.
Well, thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I've got a question. I'm a little bit confused here. I know we already approved one school type of facility, a gymnastics academy out in the park on Artesian Drive. Now, are you affiliated with that? Is this?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so this would be a separate building in the same park.
Yes.
Actually, it's a.
It's in the same building.
It's in the same building. It's one
different
of the,
bay.
The different bay of that building. It's like the fourth bay.
It's the fourth bay.
Dave, now once she leaves that, does it go back?
The conditional use goes with this. It is this conditional use. So if Gold Medal Gym was to relocate, just as Gold Medal did relocate from the building next door to this building, that conditional use ceased in the old building, in this case transferred. If for some reason Mrs. Bentley was to, you know, expand into a second bay, she would need to get the conditional use for that, or if she were
which
to
I plan to
or if she were to expand. Relocate to another building in the business park, then the conditional use would go, and you know, hopefully she doesn't go somewhere else, but if she did, then those conditional uses would expire.
Now I know there were many questions raised when we put in the gymnastics facility about traffic, concern for the kids' safety in parking lots, et cetera. I assume at this point all those problems have been worked out with the gymnastics facility?
Yeah, and in your packet is the the Planning Commission report, and this was an issue that I know the Planning Commission also addressed, because they had been concerned originally when Gold Medal Gym opened, and I won't put words in Mr. Bentley's mouth, but the experience out there has been that basically, you know, people bring children, drop them off. In fact, I don't know about your operation, but I do know in Gold Medal, you know, basically it's drop your kids off, and you know, they don't want you hanging around interfering with the instruction and watching what's going on. And so I've not had any complaints. Chief isn't here to ask him, but we've not had any complaints at all about, you know, traffic or, you know, parents hanging out blocking the rest of the uses in the park or anything of that nature.
One other quick question. I'm sorry to talk so much tonight, but in the other half of the building with Gold Medal Gym, I believe, was kind of a industrial business. I forget what it
Metcalf
was.
Metcalf or something like that.
Painters or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that the part of the building you're taking over?
I took their old building.
Okay, so they're now off the property.
They're in the same building. They just moved new additions. They built onto the building, and they took the end where there's a...
Okay.
Like a loading dock or something.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
But we're not in there. Like, I run in the evening, and even, like I'll open up in the daytime, you know, just for open gym, just for anybody that wants extra help. But, like, with Brenda next door, there won't be any problem because we'll work together. I mean, because we're just benefiting one another. I mean, kind of runs hand in hand.
Thank you. What are your hours of?
It would be evening generally, like maybe a couple of days at around 4:30 in the evening, but most of the time like 6 o'clock on.
6 o'clock to like 9.
8:30, you know. 30. By the time we walk out, maybe around 9.
And I know there was quite a lot of discussion on parking up there. But with those hours of operation, you pretty much
the only one in there is Brenda, and like I've talked to her about it, and said that, you know, she has three bays, and like technically we're all supposed to have 6 parking spots, but the time that we're in there, we have the whole parking lot, because and I've just, you know, I've spoke to her. I was like, well, I'll just take from the handicap this way, and you can take that way, and I'll make sure nobody parks in yours, and you know. Well, the filler, we'll work together. Like I said, my daughter goes there, and, you know, Brenda and me get along pretty well, so we're willing to work together on it.
I'd like to ask Captain Weber if he's got any complaints on parking or anything for that area.
Actually, we had some months ago, we did have some complaints about people parking along the roadway, but believe it or not, that was mostly construction.
Okay.
We've had no complaints about the businesses or parking in any of the lots.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
Am I done?
Yes.
Okay. can I leave or? Okay.
Well, she could leave if she wanted to.
Yeah, actually she.
Brenda, you could leave.
Right.
Well, that,
no, but yet. We won't hold it against you if you're not here.
Thank you.
You've got a whole group of young ladies waiting, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you. I will close the public hearing and open the legislative fact-finding hearing on the Warren property. Mr. Hubb?
Yes, we have an application for annexation from the Warren property. This, most of you probably know this as the Animal Inn on Route 13, kind of almost directly across from the intersection of Carter Road. This is the first step in the process of being annexed into the community. This is the time at which you take information, testimony about the potential annexation, and then the next step in the process is to set the annexation election, which is on the agenda.
Any questions or comments?
I don't know whether the applicant is here.
Would you like to make?
Would you like to come up and make any kind of a comment, or correct me if I didn't get everything correct?
Just give your name and address for the record.
It would be.
My name is Gail Warren. I'm the property owner at 1779 South DuPont Boulevard and 1797 South DuPont Boulevard. It's two parcels there. If anybody has any questions, or
Actually, my question would be for Mr. Hugg. Mr. Hugg, is this land contiguous with already established borders of Smyrna?
This land is actually a totally surrounded enclave.
Yes.
Okay.
The town of Smyrna is north, east, and south, and across the highway west. So, yeah, they're contiguous.
Obviously in line with our comprehensive use plan and no objections from town staff or planning and zoning, right? Thank you very much.
Can I ask you a question? Why would you want to be annexed into our town?
For the potential sale of the property to fit in with the business use.
Okay, and that's basically your main reason?
Yeah.
Okay. This property would be zoned highway commercial once it was annexed into town. That's the comprehensive plan designation for the property.
You back up to the front side of Gateway North?
Yeah, we're surrounded by Gateway. Sides to
you're
Gateway.
You're surrounded by it. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get a good idea.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Captain, are you going to sit up front?
Sir, I am.
If you would, then you can lead us in the pledge. Does anybody need to take a quick break?
You should close the fact-finding.
We'll close the fact-finding hearing.
I could use 2 minutes, please.
I was last week.
Mm-hmm. We had good weather.
And we had excellent weather. Last couple days, kind of hit and miss. More miss than hit.
Aww.
There is a lever down there. In fact, I think there's two. This side, right there.
I just made it go down all the way.
I think you may be there.
It's on my foot.
You may be there already.
I'm trying to get higher, but the less of a target.
Is there a way to bring it to turn towards you?
Is Valerie going to be here?
Yeah.
Three to two.
There we go.
Wait a minute, it didn't.
It's better than it was.
If you say that it goes down, we'll know it didn't lock.
I'm going to sue.
Did it lock?
I'll let you know.
I go right down. You know that people.
There's a lot of like hydraulic action in this. The low rider should be playing.
There you go.
How's Terry doing?
Doing well.
Is he back to work?
Almost full time.
Okay, good.
But not quite.
We're recovering more.
Yeah. I think he's starting to learn to enjoy relaxing. Maybe a little too much.
Yeah, well, I can't see him missing this.
No, I don't. Next week we have that 3-week break between meetings. We get twice a year.
Oh, I live for it. I live for it.
August 7th or 3rd or something?
10th. Yeah, I think the 7th. Take more off of town than anything else.
Not a golf tournament.
So I'm going to go for a few days.
Where in New York? Upstate?
I don't know. Next? At least 10 years. Together every year. We've got a little foundation.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're still in the planning stages, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
hopefully we'll have our CAPS program finally online. It seems like it's really crazy.
Yeah, you're from that area.
I don't know. If,
look at the barrier.
Lots longer. Some of it's been our problem, and some of it's been DEMA, and some of it's been federal people and the people that underwrote the grant. We're doing what we can.
East Chester.
Yeah.
It's right near the border.
Yeah, that's woods. That's what I'm looking for right there.
Vernon is just over the border.
Right. They don't want to live that way. East Chester, there's like the Chester Heights area.
They don't want to live.
They don't want to live. We're sort of like in between like Neuchâtel and Bronxville. It's the part of town where I grew up. Like the poor relations between all these refugees.
Back in my day, East Chester. Yeah, it's 200 more families.
I didn't want to say that right off the bat, but
yeah, and here we are.
You should see my yearbook.
That's
I
actually
have
you
the hair
do anything for you.
And the boys all
extended for
a year. I'm sure your yearbook came at least 10 or 15 years after mine did.
Oh, no, they plus what you spend, I guess. I
mean, mine had dinosaurs on the cover. Just the school mascot.
Services extended over 30 years.
All right, so this is the new game I started playing with Chief Baldwin. Most of you guess what time.
I'm not going to play that game.
That's what he said last week, too.
I'm here for the duration.
Captain, would you open us with a pledge?
Certainly, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic of which we stand, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you please have a brief moment of silent meditation? Additions or deletions to the agenda. And I did note that the resignation of the town attorney was omitted.
I'm sorry, Mr. Schaefer, I didn't hear what you said.
I did not include the consideration of the resignation of the town attorney. Mrs. White had asked that we not consider that until she was here, and I understood from discussion from Terry J. Work that he would not be able to be here tonight, so did not put it on. I mean, it technically is still tabled, so we can.
Well, can we add it as H and we'll just table? We'll just not act
on it. That's up to the council.
If Mrs. White, I'm more than happy to give her that courtesy. I would assume everybody else would.
If it's tabled, do we have to do anything about it?
No.
Yeah. We could just leave it alone. We don't have to put it on the agenda.
Well, it should be on the agenda as a tabled action, but it's no big deal. If she would prefer to be here.
Oh, that's fine.
I'll make a motion that we put it on the agenda under, what was that, Mr. Schaefer?
Under old business.
Old business.
Okay.
As a tabled item.
Okay. Anything else?
Do I have a second? Do I need one?
I'll second that.
Well, when we approve the agenda.
Okay.
Is that did you have something?
I guess the other council is where Mr. Evans is. Was that forgot?
I told the mayor. Mrs. White is out of town on vacation, and Mr. Evans got called out of town to go to Baltimore late this afternoon. And
no, but I mean on the other council business, it has Councilman Evans stated.
Yeah, we haven't got that yet. Minutes.
Oh, in the minutes. I'm sorry. Okay.
Come on. I'm ahead of myself.
Slow down.
Well, I was going to do it in a minute, but Evans and White are both excused. Is that a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as amended. With the
second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. You want to make a comment on the minutes?
Bill, if I might take this one?
Go ahead.
Okay. on our minutes, page 8, there is a line under old council business. I've already had a discussion with Valerie, and this is simply a typographical error. Therefore, I would like to make a motion that we strike the item under council business that says Councilman Evans stated he had three items he would like to. That's an incomplete sentence. It was from a previous set of minutes. That's my motion.
I'll second it. Any other?
Then I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes as amended.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I don't have anything, Ms. Schrader.
Report,
Captain?
Mr. Mayor, a couple meetings ago, the chief made an announcement of our junior police academy. I'm pleased to announce that the junior police academy did start today, and we have 20 youths in the program, and it is scheduled to run through the 28th of this month. Also, the council should be aware that, again, this year we're going to be participating in the National Night Out. That's going to be held on Tuesday, August the 1st, from 7 to 9 p.m., centered here in the downtown area in front of Town Hall at Market Street Plaza. And we hope to have quite a bit of participation. You're certainly all welcome and invited to be there. Mr. Mayor, members of council, that's the only thing that I have for you tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Hug?
You have my report in your packet, two things I want to just call your attention to. One for the public. As part of the National Night Out, the Christiana Care Smyrna Medical Facility building will be open, and there will be materials and tours and whatever available to the public. So we'll be at if Captain, I don't know whether that's gotten communicated yet, but as part of the sort of the area that's going to be open, we may also want to think about how to deal with traffic and whatever in that area.
We'll deal with it.
Thank you, sir. And a reminder to Mayor and Council that the Putnam Group and Christiana Care has offered to give Mayor and Council tours of the building and discuss with them their plans for the services will be available in the building, and that's set for 7 o'clock on the 24th, and we'll just assemble there, whoever's able to attend. And I think that's it.
Just meet on the corner there?
Yeah, just meet on the corner by what will be the front entrance.
Any committee reports?
Yeah, I have the Ad Hoc Library Committee met. And a couple of things I'd like to thank Representative Bruce Ennis for participating and with his interest and getting the library situation moving through the processes, and we'll be meeting on July this Friday. It'll be this Friday, I think. Next Friday again, the 28th.
Cool.
Again, to discuss, we're plotting out strategies to begin the whole process of obtaining a library, which is not an easy thing to do, and it's rather complex. But I think that with the efforts of the committee that we have, we'll be able to do something.
Any other committee reports?
We had a personnel committee the other night, and in your package you'll see some recommendations that we'll talk about at that time.
Yeah, it's on item 9C on your agenda.
Okay, good enough. Anyone else? Now is the portion of the agenda that we welcome the visitors to make comment. If there's anyone who would like to make comment, please come forward and give your name and address for the record.
Before we begin, sir, I apologize for just a minute. We have two items previously scheduled, the auditors and then the fence adjustment, if we could do them as items 8.
You mind? Can we do those quickly?
Pardon?
Can we do these other two items very quickly and then ask you to come back?
Go ahead.
And we'll call you right back up.
Okay. It'll be long. I'll stand here and talk to you.
And somewhere in the
video. Waiting in the wings.
Waiting in the wings is there. Carl, you want to come up forward?
Hi, my name is Carl Hogan from Barbicane Thornton and Company, and I am just coming tonight to present the December 31st, 2005 financial statements. I'm not going to take a lot of time. I'm just going to, ask that you accept the financial statements. I am under the understanding that council has received a draft, and I have not received any questions over the last month. We have met with Finance Committee, and we have gone over the details of the financial statements, and I am here for any questions that you might have for your review of the draft.
Any questions?
This is the presentation of the final audit.
Yeah. Yes, this is the final document.
A motion to accept that, or is that?
Well, I just wonder if we could, for the benefit of our audiences, perhaps, Dave, you might even do it, is just to simply give a three-sentence overview of how we came out in our audit this year.
Oh, almost forgot that.
Yes, you almost forgot. I'll ask Carl. Staff thinks we did absolutely wonderfully, and as we certainly expected, Carl may say it, but I also want to thank Gary Stuhler and his staff for a lot of very hard work. As you know, we've had difficulty the last couple of years getting an audit finally completed in a timely manner. I consider the fact that we had our draft audit about a month ago to be a very significant improvement, still using the old accounting system. So having done that with the limitations that we had, I think that the finance staff is to be commended. And I want to also just express our appreciation to Carl and the staff from Barbicane Thornton for working with us these last 3 years. They've put in a lot more hours than they probably wished or hoped or planned, but they have been particularly helpful, not just in doing the formal audit process, but in actually helping staff understand and address some of our internal controls and what have you, and improve the way we do business. So I actually want to thank you guys for what I think is a really good job, and for all the help you've given us.
And was I also correct in understanding that one of the significant findings was that our handling of monies, town monies within the town, has many checks and balances, so in effect it's very hard for our money to get out of control because there are so many steps involved and separations of powers that it would be very difficult for someone to misappropriate our funds. Is that true?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. Thank
you very
much.
Part of our audit report, we report on the internal controls, but I just want to reiterate what Dave said. This is our third year here, and we have marked significant progress that the town has made. And your audit report for the current year is the most important part. Is it's an unqualified or a clean opinion, and that's the best opinion that you could get. So.
Very good. Thank you. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Did you have any other comments or questions?
No.
Do you need any formal action?
Sake of the record, it wouldn't hurt to have a motion.
Is there a motion to accept the final audit?
I'll make a motion that we accept the final audit for 2005 from Barbicane Thornton.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Hearing regarding a fence adjustment at 18 North Main Street. Did you want to make comment before you ask the applicant to step forward?
Just briefly, this, as you know, fence adjustments have to come before council. This is a request to construct a 6-foot-high red cedar stockade fence with a lattice top along the side and rear yards of property at 18 North Main Street. The applicant is Joe Renzi, and there is in your packet a copy of the notice and the drawing and a letter from Mr. Renzi explaining why he's asking for the adjustment. I believe there is a 4-foot fence on the property at the present time, and for reasons cited, he's asking to a fence adjustment to have a 6-foot fence.
Has there been any opposition from adjacent property owners?
Yes, actually we do have. If you want to pass those down, let's just talk about it. Okay, we do have a letter from a neighbor, Virginia Foley. Among other things, she's one of the reasons that the applicant had asked for the fence adjustment is that they have a dog, and they were wanting to have the taller fence to be able to restrain the dog. Mrs. Foley has also questioned the use of the property as a residence. For those of you that may not know this building, this is what was known as the Yellow House, the little yellow building, kind of
the portico type of thing. Large column?
No. This is next to lefties. Is it? Yeah, next to lefties.
In bold, Michigan.
And then some other issues about noise and what have you.
Well, I know the applicant has a representative here. Why don't we hear from him first? Yes, please.
Sure.
If you'd give your name and address for the record.
Now, lots 375 Lake Drive. I'm representing Joe Renzi. I have some pictures here of the existing fence. The problem is the existing fence is falling down. People are using the backyard. They're at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're in the backyard. It is in bad shape. It needs to be replaced. If you see the letter that was sent by Ms. Foley, the only thing I see correct in this letter is that it's 18 North Main Street. It's no longer a barbershop. Yes, it is. And the building is twice the size that it was as a barbershop. Plus, she doesn't live there. So I don't know how any noise from a heat pump is bothering her because there's no one in the place. If you wish, I'd like you all to look at the pictures that
Please,
we have here.
Please, you can pass those down.
And the fence is really a 5 foot high with a foot lattice. So it is 6 foot, but it's a foot of lattice on top, and it's a cedar fence.
And the intent is to prevent people from cutting through there?
Yes, because they hang out in there. That's the problem. They hang out back there all hours of the night and on their front steps. But I don't know really what the problem is. It should help her property. Like I say, no one lives there, and she doesn't live there. There's also pictures, if you notice, there's also pictures of the sidewalk in front of her house where she's been asked many times to repair it. It's unsafe. Someone fell there a couple years ago, and I understand they passed away from that sidewalk. And the town has sent her letters to correct it, which I've talked to the town, and there's no response. So I don't know what the problem is with this fence.
Any questions for Mr. Lutz?
Well, actually, I've got a question about this letter as I read it. This is the letter from Ms. Foley objecting
yes.
to this. In the first paragraph, she talks about three noisy dogs at 16 North Main Street. Does Mr. Renzi reside at 16 North Main or have anything to do with that?
No, nothing to do with that whatsoever.
So that's not really relevant to this.
Exactly.
Okay, in the second paragraph, she objects to illegally using the property at 18 North Main, Mr. Renzi's property's residence. She says it can only be used as for commercial use. What is your response to that, sir?
The response to that is when they had the business there, Yellow House, they closed it. Now, since then, when his daughter moved in, she couldn't understand why she was getting these outrageous electric bills. Well, as she found out, it was under commercial. They switched. She came to the town. They switched that, I think, October.
Okay, so it has been formally and officially switched to a residential
property.
Well,
not exactly.
Okay.
Not exactly. They switched the electric, but the town never sent her and never changed it at that time to residential. Since then, the application has been put in and the town has taken care of it. But the town took the responsibility of not following it through to make it residential.
If I can interject, because there is some confusion here. The property itself is zoned central commercial. Residential uses are permissible use in a central commercial district. On that block face, the only property from the corner of East Commerce and Main Street to the Delaware House that is not zoned central commercial is the Delaware House property itself. It is zoned residential. But all the rest of the properties along that block face, including Mrs. Foley's, are zoned central commercial. That is a central commercial district. Irrespective of that, and I have not looked into this question that she raises about the strictly residential use, if a property has been used consistently for a residence in a central commercial district, it may continue to be a residence without any violation of the zoning ordinance. It can also be a residence if there is commercial use on the first floor and residents in the back or upstairs or both.
And there's no limitation on the size either.
Right. There's no limitation.
Correct.
The issue before you, though, so you don't get confused, the issue before you is strictly a fence adjustment. A fence is allowed in all districts. So whether it's zoned commercial or residential, a six-foot fence is permissible with approval of a fence adjustment.
We're not talking about uses, dogs,
we're not talking about uses or zoning or anything. If there's a matter there to be resolved, it's separate from the fence, you know, the fence issue. So and what Mr. Lutz is talking about is that when it was in active use as the Yellow House, because its consumption was of a commercial nature, it was its utility rate was commercial, which includes a demand charge. When the commercial use on the first floor ceased, that commercial designation continued until such time as Mr. Renzi's daughter came in to question it, and the utility classification was corrected to be residential because that's the current activity that's going on in the building. There's no active commercial. So that's how this confusion arises.
And they did reimburse her for what? Her overage was.
Something, yeah, there was a period.
Yes.
Well, as Mr. Hugg said, we're just concerned about the fence tonight.
Right.
Good, okay.
If you have any other problems, his planning office will take care of
it. Well, like I say, it's replacing the fence that's there, which is, as you see from the pictures, a picture is worth 1,000 words.
If I could, this
any questions?
Yeah, there may be a silly question, but again, in the first line, she objects to the fencing of the backyard of the property for a dog. What dog is this we're talking about? Does Mr. Renzi own a dog?
Ashley owns a dog.
Okay.
It's part terrier. It's about 15 inches high, probably weighs 22 pounds. So it's not a pit bull or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Is this fence going to continue all the way around the yard on all three sides?
Yes. There's a piece of a cyclone fence, as you've noticed, in the rear. But both sides, north and south, are dilapidated, and that's where everybody uses it for their whatever, beer cans and everything else in the backyard. So this would stop that also.
And the other adjacent property owners have not objected to this, correct?
The only objection of record is the one submitted by Mrs. Fuller.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else to speak in favor? Did you have another comment?
No more.
You're good to go. Thank you.
Is
there anyone that would like to speak in opposition?
My name is Terry Foley. I'm representing my mother, Virginia W. Foley.
You have to push the microphone out. Thank you.
All right. He's talking about the south fence mainly being in really bad shape at 18 North Main Street. We gave Mr. Renzi permission when he put that addition on the back to tear down that picket fence out front, cut down a tree, go back in there so he could get his supplies and build the fence, because the man that owns the alley wouldn't let him in back of that 18 North Main Street. Well, when he did all that, Mr. Renzi's, he never does any work. His men didn't fix the fence. There's about 4 feet from the back of the yellow building there that they never put back up. And about the bricks out front, that's not true about getting letters from the town to fix the brick sidewalk. We fixed a path through there where people can walk. It's not true about the man falling down and killing himself there. This guy has quite an imagination.
Do you have any objection to the fence?
Yeah, we object to the fence. Because it's just going to, they're going to have, this little dog is not really the problem. It's these Doberman pincers up there, I guess that's how you say it, up in the third floor or the second floor of the music store. They're up there barking, and they're going to be more barking at this little dog. So the whole thing is illegal. They're living there illegal, the man's daughter. Because it's zoned CC, Central Commercial. There are exceptions for putting residents in there, like you can live over a store and things. if you go to the CC section in town ordinances, you can go to the Board of Adjustments, which I talked to a girl in the zoning today. She says Mr. Renzi, or his daughter, one of them, is going to file something with the Board of Adjustment to make this place legal. Right now, it's illegal. You can go to the Board of Adjustment.
Sir, I don't mean to interrupt you, but can we discuss the fence?
It's about why are we discussing a fence on a place that is being illegally used, and they want to put their dog back there, and it shouldn't even be there at all. Okay. In the Board of Adjustment, you can, if you're CC, you can turn it into residence and have a one-family dwelling if you got 5,500 square feet for the whole lot, which they don't. Plus numerous other rules on lot size and things, and they don't fit it. So it is completely, it cannot be used for residential.
Okay. Thank you.
And we object to the fence because the noise, the tenant upstairs just moved out. He was supposed to be there 10 months. He left in 6. It was too noisy once it got warm with all the dogs and the kids out front. And that noisy heat pump blaring all the time. We can't use the porch because of the heat pump, and we like him. That's another side issue, but that is a big problem. And these people, if they're going to be living there all the time, that makes the heat pump run more. When it's commercial, they will only use it about 40 hours a week or so, 50 hours. When it's illegal residential like it is now, they've been living there a year illegally. And now we're going to have a hearing to give them a special exception so they can put their pet dog. It doesn't make sense.
Okay.
I think it should be postponed till they go before the Board of Adjustments, they get everything legal, and then come back. There's no big deal that it has to be such a rush to have a fence in there.
All right, well, thank you very much for your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Any comment from staff?
How many units are here? Is it
one.
Just the one? Just one. There's no apartment upstairs.
No.
So there's only one unit upstairs and downstairs.
One unit. 40 by 60. I don't know what it is. It's on there. Any other questions? What's the pleasure of the council?
My feeling is I was a bit confused by the second gentleman as far as the Board of Adjustment, the legality of this lot. And I personally am a little concerned over whether or not his comments are fully accurate or not, because I just don't know. And I would like to have some sort of assurance that that what he is saying is true. If this is an illegal residence, we're not, based on our laws. So,
well, I think the planning staff is reviewing that. We're here to discuss a fence tonight.
I guess, but I think his point's well made. Why allow a fence in a property that, at this point, is...
Well, on a commercial property, you need to get an adjustment to put up this type of fence also. So they could, you know, run a furniture store there, they still need to come back here to get an adjustment. I mean, I don't diminish his concerns. I think they're very valid, but that's really not what we're here for tonight. I think Mr. Hugg said that clearly at the beginning of the hearing.
I guess, okay, we allow the fence, but do we resolve the other issue?
Well, I think they're already working on it.
That's not true.
Well, we're not here for that issue tonight.
I'll make a motion to accept the fence.
Is there a second?
I'll second it for purposes of discussion.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I'd just like to ask Mr. Hugg to reiterate once more. Is there something pending in this issue regarding the legal occupancy of this building or not?
It's my understanding, and actually Valerie probably knows more than I, it's my understanding that this matter is being discussed with the planning staff, and
I don't know whether a formal application has been submitted or I don't
I
know.
I haven't seen one.
Right. But I know the matter is being discussed with the planning staff in terms of the actual use of the property.
Well, then I guess what Dr. Chervenek and Gene said, are we putting the cart before the horse here? Should we hold off on the one until the...
Well, it...
See, I guess whether or not it's commercial or residential is another issue.
It doesn't really have anything to do with what's
Let me just
tonight.
Cut to the chase. The real problem is this is a thoroughfare, unfortunately, from an area of town that is blighted. People are shortcutting through there in all hours of the night. It's a real problem, and I think the real intent of this fence is to help prevent that foot traffic through there in the wee hours of the night. It's pretty bad back. It can get pretty bad back there.
I would have to see some advantages to the fence as far as the noise and some of the other things. So, and besides that, whether it's used for residential or commercial, the fence is going to be appropriate, I guess is the word, for that area.
Well, the fact is they can put in a four-foot fence, residential, commercial, regardless. They can put a four-foot fence in tomorrow without asking anybody anything, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And the only real objection I hear to this particular property being fenced is that it will allow a very small dog to come out, which will set off the other dogs in the neighborhood and make them bark. Well, I got dogs next to me. I got a lot of dogs next to me and behind me and around me, and dogs are a fact of life. I personally don't see any difference between whether a four-foot fence or a six-foot fence goes up. Then that's my position.
Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Mood, would you like to come forward? Sorry for the delay.
Thank you. My name is Jim Mood. I live at 606 Smyrna Clayton Boulevard in Smyrna. I was born in Smyrna, probably what you call an old homegrown tomato. I sat on here 15 years, been involved in the fire company 50-some years, and I'm proud to be from Smyrna. And I have a problem. I like history and the things of Smyrna, the history of Smyrna. I want to read something out of a book that George Cayley wrote in 1978, one little short paragraph, then I'll address this. It's hard to do with Oddfellows Cemetery on 13. The Morning Star Lodge number 6 organized in Smyrna in 1843. 20 years later, the trustees of the lodge, along with some members of the McDonald encampment, organized the Oddfellows Cemetery Association. A parcel of land of the Peterson property near Belmont Hall was purchased and a cemetery laid out. In keeping with the era, a Victorian gateway was erected. It was embellished with the Oddfellows symbol and topped with fancy scrollwork. About the same time, another such cemetery gate was also erected in Camden, Delaware. Research has revealed that many similar cemetery gateways were erected by the Oddfellows and other cemetery associations. John Mass, in his 1957 book, The Gingerbread Age, pictured the Smyrna entrance gate. It is one of the last surviving such ones on the entire eastern coast. Also, the fence that's in front of that cemetery was made in Smyrna. It was made by Taylor Machine Works, which was located on South Main Street where the Christina building is. That's part of the history of Smyrna. So anyone who's lived in Smyrna any length of time, and even the newcomers, have ties to Oddfellows, because they have someone buried there, a relative or friend, someone they know. I'm associated with a fire company. I take care of a committee that puts bronze markers and flags out there. Every year, two or three of us put 110 markers out in that cemetery to mark our deceased members.
You have a Medal of Honor recipient buried in that cemetery.
Yes. The condition of that gate is deplorable. It's unsafe. You can't read the Oddfellows across the front of it. The left-hand side of the gate is rotten. It's fallen apart. It's going to fall and hurt somebody. The left gateway is falling down. I don't understand how the town can let that go. The fence along the front has been hit many times. I know it's falling apart. They planted trees. They must have put weed killer on them after they planted them. They're all dead. It's a terrible-looking thing out there. At nighttime, they fly the American flag. There's never light on it. That's not to be. And we shouldn't have that cemetery look like that. The building in the middle, I can assure you, is against the Boca Code, which you've adopted, the Boca Code. It needs paint. It needs repair. It's a terrible-looking place out there. Do you go out there to visit your friends that you've buried there, and you look at that place? It's not right.
Odd Fellows
went out, they sold that cemetery, and it was bought by an individual from California, really moved to Philadelphia, owned a funeral home there, bought cemeteries. Now it's a monetary thing, and it's not right for Smyrna to have that thing sitting there like that. And I know you can't tell someone how to run their business, I understand that. But you did pass, you and planning and zoning, for a crematory there, so you must have a little something to do there. And that's not going to fly because Denrec's not going to approve that.
That's nothing
to do with that.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned about the condition of this cemetery. Is there something you can do?
Mr. Hugg, can we ask the enforcement office to take a look into these issues?
Definitely.
The reason they don't take the flag down is the pole doesn't work.
I've been down that road many times with him, and you have too, and I know what condition you're speaking of. But it needs a light on it. Should have a light on it.
If it flies at night, it should have a light on.
That's yes, correct. Yes, American flag always has to have a light at nighttime. That's proper protocol.
Mr. Hugg will send the enforcement officer out.
Do I have another 30 seconds?
Sure.
Yeah. I have one more quick issue.
Right.
I don't know. I'm concerned about the new police station. Whether they need it, whether they don't, I'm not getting into that. I know you want to move the public service complex, I think, to the industrial park as your plan for the future, maybe. Then you're going to end up with a piece of land there where that old Singer building, where the public service was. You own that land. Why not take that corner and put the police station there? It's a beautiful location for it. You're putting it on South Carter Road away from the action. In police terminology, selective enforcement. You put your men where the action is, where your problems are. Your problems are not going to be out in these new developments. They're downtown on the highway and in these commercial zones. You get them out there, every time they come in, they got to run Carter Road or the highway to get to where it is. I think you should really take a look at that corner, do away with the old Singer building if you're going to do that, and put a nice-looking police station. It's close to everybody. I think it's worth looking at.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else would like to come forward? Yes, ma'am.
Ann Henning, 46 Raphael Road, Sunnyside Village. I just have a short comment. There was a Mid-State Living. I don't know who the publisher is. There was a picture in there that bothered me a little bit because it's been a big issue in our neighborhood, and I know town passed an ordinance against it. It was a picture of kids playing with a basketball, portable basketball hoop in the street. I just want to let everybody know that it is illegal to have a basketball hoop in the street. It has to be on the curb on your property.
That's correct.
And it was, I know a lot of people say that, and we have a big problem with that in our neighborhood, that people are always complaining that they have an officer come out and all. I just thought I'd let everybody know that that is not legal.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Pam Anderson. I'm at 242 East North Street. I wanted to bring into question a policy you have about water usage. When I first moved here, I was told that if you have a pool, that you'll be credited for the sewage when you fill that up. And since then, I've gotten a lot of conflicting answers from the town hall. Some of the people will say yes, that they'll credit me for it. Others will say no. I've gotten from one of the ladies, it's been 27 years, she's worked here. The policy might not be fair, but that's just how it is. And if I wanted to change something, I had to talk to the council about it. So I'm asking that if the policy's changed from when I first moved here, it be reconsidered.
I've been here almost 3 years. I don't use 3,000 gallons of water, maybe once or twice, 1 or 2 months out of the year. And I would at least, since I'm getting charged for water I don't get used for most of the year, to at least be credited sewer for filling up my pool. It's just asking that if the policy be reviewed and perhaps give us a little bit of a fair break. I know I'm not the only one that doesn't use my 3,000 minimum usage but still gets charged for it. Just to
try to answer your question,
okay.
Mr. Hugg can probably answer it better than I can. I know the town has provisions to put in another meter for your pool,
mm-hmm.
and that way you're only charged for, you're not charged for the sewage
Correct.
On it, just the water.
But would I be charged for that additional meter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is probably not going to save me any money in the long run.
That's a one-time charge. It's called a yard meter. How big is your pool?
It's not a large pool.
In-ground pool? Or?
It's above ground. It's 4 foot by 15 feet. I use about 1,000 gallons of water when I top it off, which is probably only $10 or $15 in sewage. But I'm a single parent, and that little bit would be nice. I mean, I'm getting charged for 3,000 gallons at least 10 months out of the year. I've checked my meter. I know I'm not using 3,000 gallons.
That 3,000 gallons is the...
It's a minimum
is
usage.
The minimum, whether you use, you know, a gallon or $29.99, it's...
But I was told that I would get credited for the sewer when I filled it up, and it would be nice if I at least got what I was told.
Well, I was going to suggest that we have a utility committee meeting coming up this week that, with the permission of the chairman, I'll do a little research and we can at least review that on Thursday if that's acceptable. And
that would be great. I'd appreciate that. Every little bit helps.
I understand.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the council?
I'm Terry Burrell. I live at 193 South Main Street here in Smyrna. And first of all, I'd like to thank the town for picking up the debris from July 4th. That was we had a lot of stuff come down, and it would have been really difficult for me to have to deal with that by myself. So on behalf of my wife and myself, I'd like to thank you guys for taking care of that for us. My other issue is that I was appointed to the Personnel Committee. And it took a while to get the first meeting up, and I was kind of excited about being able to go to that meeting and found out that it was scheduled at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I work in Wilmington, and I don't get off until 3:30. And as important as I think this appointment is, my job is pretty important to me also. My income covers, you know, us being able to stay here. I would like to request that that you schedule these meetings when we can all be there. I mean, in order to, you know, get a round table discussion going, you can't do it with two people, you know. I mean, I know Valerie was not able to make it, Councilman White, Person White. And, you know, that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for discussion. So, and it also doesn't do me any good because I'd like to become a part of the committee. And not being, first of all, you know, waiting as long as it took to get the first meeting called. I was going to get up in this council meeting last week until I think the mayor asked that the council meeting be called. Either you or Dave, I'm not sure. But I thought, that solves it for me. And then I got a letter saying it's not until, you know, it's going to be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, that just, if the council members can't be there, it's just, what's the point, you know, so. If we could reschedule those things or find, I mean, you know, pretty much this time of day or night, you know, is a good time because everybody makes it. You know?
Well, Mr. Burrell, I'm the chairman, and we can't satisfy all of you. We try to. Because not everybody, we try to sit these meetings, not everybody can be there at 5. Sometimes it don't work for Dave or other town people. So we try to make it
convenient
for everybody. Yes, we're probably going to do some that you're not going to be able to be there. That's the name of the game because there's other people on that committee that can't be here. We try to do the majority of them. to see if it'll work for them. And that's why we send these notices. We try to find out if it's good for everybody before we send these notices.
A part of it is trial and error, of course. I believe, Bill, you and I were the only ones at the meeting from the committee, so we couldn't even raise a quorum to make recommendations to the council. We got some good work done, but we missed y'all. I believe our next meeting is scheduled for the 31st, and that will be at 5 o'clock. And Mr. Presley had spoken at the meeting about how he would reach out to the different members of the committee and try to find a common time, which would be good. Unfortunately, sometimes we do schedule them at the wrong time, and essential people cannot make it.
Well, I can tell you this.
Can you make it on the 31st at 5?
I believe so, yeah. I get off at 3:30. I can be there at 4.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Is there anyone else would like to address the council? Seeing no one come forward, I will close the public portion of the meeting. Thank you for your comments. Old business resolution to set annexation election for the Warren property. Mr. Hugg, did you want to make any comment?
No, you had
set
your
the date in August 17th at 9.
Right, you had your fact finding hearing tonight. The normal scheduling then would put the election 30 days from now. Just setting the date for August 17th, 2006 at 9 a.m.
What's the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion that we pass a resolution to set annexation election August 17th from 9 to 10 a.m. for the Warren property at 1779 and 1797 South DuPont Boulevard.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Disbursement of facade improvement matching grant funds. Mr. Hugg, did you want to?
Yeah. I have a comment before this comes up. This council passed a resolution to have a have a moratorium till the end of this month on all facade improvement grants. I'm not quite sure why these are on the agenda. I probably should have spoke up when the.
Well, if I can explain, these are disbursements of the funds. The way the process works, they go through the Historic Review Board. Assuming they're approved by the Historic Review Board and the scope of work is approved, then they come to town council for approval, which is what you did on June 5th. So the council has approved these two grants.
Oh, okay.
When the work is complete and the planning and zoning staff and inspection staff have certified that the work is complete, then we come back to council to actually disperse the money. So there's that ensures that you know, we are not only approving the work to be done, but approving the work once it's finished. So these are part of the previous set of projects. There's two of them. There's 116 North Main Street and 36 East Commerce Street. These are completed projects pursuant to what you approved a little over a month ago.
I'm going to make a motion that we approve the disbursement of the facade improvement matching grant funds to 116 North Main Street, the Brown property, and 36 East Commerce Street, the Gilbert property.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Sorry, was that a no? We have three ayes and a no, I believe.
I'm not voting.
You're abstaining, Mr. Schaefer?
That is correct. So that will.
So this motion
does not pass.
Does not pass.
Smyrna School District, what I would like to call capital improvement fee.
Can I? Wait, hold on. Yeah, I was going to hold on. Wait a second. I think that. This probably
has to. I think this has to come back to council for action.
Should be revisited at our next meeting.
Oh, it will be. It has to come back.
You can put it back on the agenda.
Yeah. Do we need these? Do these need to be tabled, Erica?
I think it should just be re-noticed.
Just re-noticed. Just
agenda item.
Okay.
Okay.
Not a continuation.
Okay. Thank you.
Smyrna School District. What I'd like to call it is the capital improvement fee. I ask that this be placed on the agenda. Just for discussion, I would hope that the Finance Committee would take a look at this. We actually discussed a fee similar to the one that the county just recently passed and decided that the county had worked on it for so long, we weren't quite sure whether or not they were going to pass it. And we did not want to penalize Smyrna citizens and not have the majority of the population in the Smyrna School District not participate in a program to help build and improve our schools.
Well, if I may, like, the majority, I think, of the school district is outside the town.
That's correct. That's what I just said.
Yeah.
If I can also just comment, I'm not sure the county could have made this any more complicated than they have. If you read it, this fund, these funds go to the county, a special account. The county holds them. They have to be requisitioned, blah, blah, blah. I talked today with Fran Falachek at Smyrna School District, reviewed this program with him. I would suggest to council, and we may want to do this in the Finance Committee, that we treat this pretty much the same way we treat the fire company and the ambulance service, that we collect the money at the time of the building permit. Once a quarter, we send them the money. And quite frankly, I don't believe the town of Smyrna needs to be in the business of deciding whether Smyrna School District properly spends this money for capital improvements or not. At that point, it's their audit. It's their responsibility. So I would suggest to council that whatever action we take, that we
To get in lengthy discussion on, I'd like to refer to the finance.
And that's fine. I think it's appropriate.
Exactly what are we referring to the Finance Committee?
Discussion of imposing a capital improvement fee.
Similar to the impact fee that...
Well, I agree with Mr. Hugg. That is completely confusing and convoluted. I think we have a much more simplified program with our paramedic and fire impact fee.
Well, I guess what I'm wondering about is... I hear Mr. Hugg's comments. However, I'm concerned over the fact that impact fees are used for operational funds, which they shouldn't be used, as far as I'm concerned. Can I?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I think there should be some restrictions on this money as far as the ultimate end use of the funds.
Just to refresh.
Dave, can I interrupt you?
Yeah, we can discuss.
And again, I happen to agree with Dr. Shervinek's comments and not your comment. I do think, my opinion would be, it'd be spent for capital projects only. But, again, I think we can have more open and frank discussion at the Finance Committee.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
May I ask a question? Is this ordinance now enacted? It says... Effective
county,
June 11th,
yes.
So it is.
Yes. It is. This ordinance is in effect.
We actually almost did this a year or so ago, and then we said, well, wait a minute. If we adopt this type of ordinance, the vast majority of the population of the school district would not be paying this, and our citizenry would be getting taxed unfairly. And no disrespect to Lovey Court, but we weren't quite sure they were going to do anything. There was a lot of talk and not much action, and they finally got it through.
Well, three school referendums rejected, helped them along.
In that same vein, because Clayton is also part of the Smyrna School District, does anybody know if Clayton has any?
I talked to the mayor, and he wasn't aware of it, but yeah, I'm sure.
And just
I'm sure Mrs. Wicks will inform them.
Just so I'm clear on what we're. Possibly suggesting, are you suggesting the same rate schedule?
I think
the county?
We need to discuss that at length at the Finance Committee.
Do we need a motion to send it to the committee?
No.
I think we can just put it on the agenda.
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay.
Zoning designation for the Slaughter property to R2A. What is the pleasure of the council?
If I can clarify just one point for you, D and E are a pair of actions. This is the final step of the annexation process. In order to do this properly, you need to consider the rezoning, and you need to give your reasons for doing so.
We'll have a roll call
on that one, and then you need to vote to actually annex.
We had public hearings on this issue, as everybody recalls.
Public hearing. We had an election.
Public notice. What's the pleasure of the council?
Just a quick question, Mr. Hugg. Once again, both of these items are in line with the comprehensive plan.
Yes, they are.
And they have come with the recommendation of Planning and Zoning Commission.
With the recommendation of Planning.
And they come with the recommendation of staff.
Right.
And have there been any objections to either of these from members of the public? Thank you very much, sir. I'll make a motion, if I may. I'll make a motion that we set the designation for slaughter property at North Carter Road to R2A.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We need to state our reasons. Mr. Cahill?
At this time, I'm doing it for the reasons I just stated. It's in line with our comprehensive land use plan. It has been approved by the Planning and Zoning Committee. It's been approved by town staff, and there are no objections from citizens.
Mr. Presley?
For the reasons of Planning and Zoning Commission has approved it, and it is in our composition plan.
Mr. Mullins?
It's in line with our comp plan and recommendations of PNC.
Dr. Shervnick?
I'm voting no because I feel that the density of the housing may be, for that particular area, may be too dense.
I'm voting yes because it's within line of our comprehensive plan, the state strategies map, and was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Did you get all that? E, resolution to approve annexation of properties on North Carter Road.
I'll make a motion. We approve the resolution to approve the annexation of properties on North Carter Road for slaughter.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 No.
Thank you very much. F, subdivision application, Sylvan Valley Real Estate, 42 Brentford Road. Mr. Hug?
Yes. This, and you have the subdivision plan in your packet. I believe you, yeah.
Yes.
It's one of these documents. This property was annexed into town April the 3rd, 2005. It is the westerlymost parcel of property in our comprehensive plan, in our designated growth area. It was zoned R2A, medium-density residential. This, to give you some setting, this is north side of Brentford Road, west of Rabbit Chase Road. Before you get to the railroad, between it and Rabbit Chase is the Worthington property. North of that is Mr. Ramuno's projects, and then further east is Hickory Hollow. The action before you tonight is the approval of the subdivision plan to create 67 single-family lots on the property, including 7.71 acres of open space. This comes to you with approval from Planning and Zoning Commission, Department of Transportation. It comes to you with the Planning and Zoning Commission pending the ultimate final approval of DLDOT, the Conservation District, and the others who will review and approve this prior to my actually signing it for recordation. So there's quite a long period of time from this point to the time this project actually is a recorded plan and work begins, but this is completely the subdivision.
This question is, the site going west, that's already developed up against the...
Actually, the site immediately to the west is undeveloped and wooded, and then there's a couple of small uses immediately adjacent to the railroad track, and I believe there's a DP&L substation in that area. And then across the street, those properties are all under development.
Okay, so the development against the railroad track that I'm thinking of is off Sunnyside Road, then.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. All right.
This plan is actually this was a prior approved Brentford Station Section 2 phase. I think it was Phase 6, I believe, if I remember correctly. On a previously approved county subdivision.
What's the pleasure of council?
Stop right there.
I'll make a motion. Second?
I'll second that.
Discussion, if I may?
Go ahead.
Mr. Hug, what are the implications of not approving this subdivision application at this time?
Well, basically, this is pretty
short
much
term.
A procedural step. If you were not to approve the subdivision application at this time, obviously this project and the developers of this project are at some disadvantage in terms of proceeding with their additional design and construction plan review and what have you. What you're basically approving here is a It's kind of a conceptual layout subject to the actual location of utilities, road improvements, and all the other things that the engineers, Conservation District, DelDOT, the town, will require of the developer before it's...
This is basically an administrative process tonight.
Well, I mean, it's not administrative.
Ministerial.
It's kind of a ministerial process in that you know, even with your approval of this tonight, these folks cannot start building houses or moving dirt or, you know, there's a substantial amount of work beyond this, but this at least gives them now the permission to move forward with their design and engineering.
And do keep in mind that this is a formally formally approved county plan that has already been through all the whole approval process. It looks like, if I remember the original concept plan, I don't think anything has changed as far as lot sizing, maybe a little bit. Roads the same. Stormwater pond location is the same. Everything is pretty much the same as the previously approved county plan.
I think Mr. Mullen, may be the... No, I think you're right. I started to say there was there actually is a utility where the match line is shown at the top of section two. There actually is
a
provision for connecting utilities to other property in town.
So the point is it's going to be built in town or out of town, and we might as well get the taxes and the electric revenue and the water revenue.
Well, if we already annexed this land?
Yeah, this has been annexed and zoned.
Well, so then we're going to get it no matter who builds there and when they build there. Right. So that's not moot.
But hadn't it been annexed, it would have been a county plan, and it would have been built anyway because they already had an approved plan.
Enough discussion.
Is this an opportunity? I think we've discussed this before. Is when the builders, the site plans, the landscaping, the other things that go along with development. Is this a time for us to? I know Clayton has tightened some of their rules on approving a site plan and creating a situation where the builder has to complete that site plan. I don't know if this is an opportunity for the town to, because we kicked that around.
What happens in the you have and correct me if I'm wrong, is it five steps or four steps? Four. We have what basically is a four-step process of which this is really, I guess, probably the second step in the in the process. The first step is really very conceptual. Before you get to this is, I think, the second. Before this plan is ultimately recorded and approved for construction, whatever standards Smyrna has adopted as part of its subdivision land development code get built into the process. So if the town wished to add additional requirements, the mechanism for doing that is to propose and consider an amendment to the subdivision and land development ordinance, which then becomes a note on this plan that says, you know, all Smyrna standard conditions and requirements shall be met, including, and then so it really
before you sign this, it will meet all requirements.
Yeah, before this gets signed, DelDOT will have signed it, KCD will have signed it, or approved. Fire Marshal would have reviewed it. Our engineers will have reviewed it and certified it. And then at that point, you know, I'll confirm that all those conditions have been met, and then I sign it, and then it can be recorded.
That is an agonizing process.
And then once it's recorded, then the very next step is they have to get construction plans approved, which actually have all the standards and details before they can actually turn dirt. So this really deals with kind of the layout of the property. I think I don't want to belabor this. If council had significant concerns about this particular layout or the layout of a particular project, it would be appropriate for them to bring them forward at this time, but only in kind of conceptual terms.
But this layout meets the code.
Right.
I guess what I'm not talking about layout. I'm talking about the issues that people from Bon Air have come in and questioned whether or not certain things that were promised to them on their site were not accomplished because of whatever things happen in Bon Air. I guess I'm scratching my head saying, look, I read about Clayton strengthening their site plan requirements and requiring the developers to fulfill those site plans. I'm just wondering whether or not we should take another look at that. Is this an opportunity to take a look at that?
I don't think this particular step is the appropriate opportunity. I think there is an opportunity, if there are specific issues that you want to deal with, to do that before these plans are actually any of these plans are finally recorded, or as part of the acceptance of if you're concerned about, you know, certain utilities or, you know, the way a piece of public open space is finished or whatever, those are part of the acceptance process for the project when it's before it's complete. So I understand what you're saying. This is probably not the right opportunity to deal with it.
Now you'll give us the timing, right?
I will.
Okay, good.
Well, I'll be candid in that I'm not going to vote for this tonight, and I want to let the council know my reasons why. My reason is very simple. Councilwoman White is not here tonight. She has recently proposed a moratorium on building, and that, of course, we all know is very problematic and will probably never come to pass. But I would rather wait until she's back with the council, so at least she gets her chance to say her piece. So, therefore, I'm not going to support this tonight, but it does not mean I will not support it at the next meeting.
We have a motion on the floor. Should we call the question? All in favor?
Aye.
You're not, no vote?
No. Nope.
I'll vote yes. Thank you very much. G, FOIA complaint, Mr. Hug.
In your packet, you have a short memo from me regarding the employment of outside counsel. Without getting into any of the discussion of the issue before the Attorney General, we have been requested to respond to a complaint not later than July 21st, 2006. And I think I also put in your packet someplace a request that Mr. Jaywork did on my behalf to ask the Attorney General's office for an extension. But the bigger question here is that Mr. Jaywork has communicated with counsel on this particular matter. This has to do with the issue about notice of a meeting, violation of the open meeting requirements. The normal practice, I believe, would have been for Mr. Jaywork or someone from his staff to represent counsel, except for the fact that Jaywork has already opined or certainly at least advised counsel of his feelings on the matter. Therefore, in order for us to, I think, properly respond to the Attorney General and not unduly constrain whatever the town's position might be, and again, I don't want to get into that discussion because that's not relevant tonight, I believe I'm asking that you authorize the town manager to seek outside counsel for purposes of responding to this FOIA complaint. And I guess I would ask Erica if I've correctly characterized this matter before counsel considers it.
Yes, and if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to.
So if counsel were so inclined, what I would need is a motion authorizing me to secure outside counsel for purposes of this, again, for this limited response.
I guess I'm wondering, do we need outside counsel? I guess I'm kind of scratching my head and saying, well...
we need counsel.
Well, no, wait a second. I mean, we can represent ourselves, can't we?
Oh, and have a fool for a lawyer. Or a bunch of
fools. I guess what I'm saying is that the complaint was brought against the council. The council will then be deposed by plaintiff's counsel. Is that correct? Or deposed by the Attorney General, who's
represent? No.
So then,
bottom line.
Maybe I'm being naive, but I guess what I'm saying is we spent enough on legal fees. Do we need to spend the town's money on legal fees for this particular issue? Because what is the penalty You know, why should we spend thousands of dollars on legal counsel when the AG might say, yeah, we violated FOIA, then we turn around and say, okay, let's correct it. And you if anybody, Mr. Cahill, will know what the penalties are for violating FOIA.
Yeah, more upsetting to me is the fact that we need to retain outside counsel because, as you referred, my prior FOIA complaint against the town, we were represented by Terry J. Work and his firm because in the process of making my FOIA complaint, I did not involve Terry J. Work or his firm, and therefore they were free and unencumbered to defend the town of Smyrna, which is what we have hired them to do. Unfortunately, due to facts beyond the control of this council, we are now in a position where our own attorneys cannot defend us, and we need to go outside. And, of course, we get a very good financial deal from Mr. J. Work's office, so this is bound to cost us a lot more money to the taxpayer. But, Dr. Shervinak, I don't think we have any choice. I don't think there's any point in discussing exactly how we got here in this venue. That will come at some point in the future. But I'd like to go ahead and simply make a motion that we approve the retention of outside counsel by Mr. Hug to deal with this matter.
Is there a second?
I guess, okay.
Let me get a second, then discussion.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Again, I'm wondering why? I mean, what is...
Doug, what, are you saying what I think is just let the Attorney General say what they got to say and then we're going to take care of the problem?
That's correct.
One way or another.
That's correct.
Let him be whatever I mean, they said.
Well, what I'm saying is...
Give them good faith that they're going to treat us right.
That's correct. And what I'm saying is that Mr. J. Work defended the council. I basically said he advised the council on the last FOIA situation. The Attorney General said that the council violated FOIA. And everybody said, okay, let's move on.
Don't do that again.
We'll try not to do that again.
Dr. Shervinak, I think if I may, and Erica, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I interpret this part of the process is that the Attorney General, because of this FOIA complaint, has now demanded certain documents from us, affidavits from councilmen, affidavits from town staff, perhaps even an affidavit from Mr. J. Work's office regarding this matter. These are legal documents, and I think...
I don't want to interrupt you.
Sure.
At this point... The complaint has been filed. The Attorney General has asked the town to respond to it, to only the limited question of the FOIA complaint. It is possible, and Erica can correct me, it is possible that Terry or Erica could simply respond on behalf of the town and say, here are the facts and here are the individual arguments raised by each of the members of the council, pro and con. That's about as far as they could go because he has advised the council in terms of this matter. If you feel that's sufficient, then I guess...
Our office wouldn't be able to make any legal argument.
Arguments, right. It would simply
say, but you could clearly state the facts.
Right. Exactly. If you're just stating facts...
It would be a more limited defense. So hiring outside counsel would give the town council a greater opportunity to defend against the complaint.
I mean, having been right in the middle of this supposed fray, I would say that council only wants, or the majority of the council only wants the facts to be presented. And if we did do something wrong, then we'll change it. If we didn't, then we'll move on. And that's pretty much, I think, what all of us want up here. So I would say if Terry can, Terry's firm can go ahead and state that somehow without defending, so to speak, I would say that'd be good enough. And if at a later date we need to go to outside counsel, then we'll have to do that.
We have a motion.
Well, my feeling is that having dealt extensively with lawyers for many reasons over the past year or two, ad nauseum, to deprive ourselves of the best possible defense that we could have because we don't know what's going to happen here. We're simply putting out the facts and hoping that that's all it will come to, I think, may be a little bit naive on our part. To limit ourselves to not having the full and total representation that a law firm could give us would be foolhardy.
I guess my question to you, Mr. Cale, is what difference is it going to make in the final adjudication of this situation? It's not going to make. We present the facts. The AG says you were wrong or you were right. That's basically what's going to happen. Having an attorney may or may not, and therefore, I guess what I'm trying to save the town money here. And saying, look, yeah, we have enough lawyer stuff going on, and I'm trying to save the town money over something which, if we have to do it over again, we'll do it over again.
Bottom line is, if we're right, we're right. If we're wrong, and we'll have to change it. That's simple as that.
We have a motion and a second. Do you want to call the question? The motion was to hire outside counsel. All in favor? Opposed?
No.
I'm sorry, I missed it. I'm in favor.
You don't have an affirmative vote anyway. Is there a second motion?
I'd like to make a motion that Mr. J-Work's firm contact the Attorney General's office with the facts of the matter as we understand them. Including statements from councilmen and town staff, if required, and submit it to the Attorney General.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Again, I object to discussion, please. Again, I object to that concept, Gene. You know, we're in a real jam here. We have an attorney who has already given an opinion, a firm opinion on this. His opinion basically goes against the town council, and that puts us in a real trick bag. He can now not go to the attorney general and say, I don't think these people did anything wrong, and this is why. He cannot make a legal argument on our behalf. So,
well,
you know,
he's not making a legal argument. He's presenting the facts as occurred.
Well, I know that in my FOIA case, there were certainly legal arguments involved in that document. First, you present the facts, and then you make your argument to support those facts and to hopefully come to the desired conclusion. However, again, we're in a unique position where he has already made his opinion, and his opinion seems to be adversarial to the council and in favor of a single member of the council, which is what has put us in this trick bag. Now, the problem with the legal system is you only get one shot at it. And to immediately hinder ourselves and hamper ourselves by not getting the best legal defense that we could is, I think, foolhardy.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ms. Schrader, I'd like to vote yes, but I don't know if that would be appropriate for me to participate in the vote.
I would recommend that you recuse yourself from this matter, Mayor.
So it doesn't pass.
Mr. Cahill?
No.
Well, that dies. Maybe we can repost that on the agenda.
So we'll need to re...
At this point, at the direction of Mr. Hugg, our firm has requested a limited extension from the Attorney General's office to respond to the matter. Because of the stalemate, or whatever you'd like to call the situation, we've found ourselves in tonight, I'd like to recommend that council permit our office to request an indefinite extension pending the resolution of the decision by
council. Your extension was to August the 4th, and
correct.
Obviously we won't consider this again out of the 7th. So.
Correct.
All right, so I make a motion that we recommend to the Attorney General the request an indefinite extension of this complaint.
And we'll provide an explanation. Thank you.
No, wait. I made a motion. So.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nine, new business. A, results of the... Excuse me.
I think we
had a consensus to leave that on the table.
Okay.
Town attorney issue.
8H. Okay. Fine.
9A, result of the public hearing. The first is the Bentley property, which is the cheerleading academy. What's the pleasure of the council?
I'd like to make a motion. We approve the conditional use of the property at 56 Artesian Drive, the Bentley property, as discussed earlier.
I'll Second that.
We had a public hearing earlier. We had no one speak in opposition.
I have a question. Is conditional use, meaning does everybody have to come if they wanted to use
no.
a barn for a dance hall?
No.
Okay.
Only if the code requires that a conditional use application be requested.
Have a barn, if they wanted a barn dance, okay, that's all.
If it was permitted in the code, they would not need a conditional use.
If it was at your house, yes.
Okay, yeah, all right, understand.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. 9A.
Mr. Schaefer, I'd like to, if it's permissible to counsel, I'd like to ask the applicant if they could further, if you would give them a couple of minutes to further clarify, I think, some statements that were made, and I'm not sure correctly or entirely answered before we actually consider this, and I've asked them if they would limit that to a couple of minutes. Is that?
It's okay with me if it's okay with everybody else.
No problem.
Go ahead.
Mike Ryman, Becker Morgan Group, Dover, Delaware. Just a couple things I want to clarify. One, I just want to clarify the acreages that we're looking at here. Right now, we are essentially trading 40 acres of the Ream parcel, which we hope will become annexed into the town of Smyrna under IORP, for approximately 60 acres of the Jurgens parcel to be rezoned R2A. Technically, it's 85, 25 of which is wetlands, is undeveloped. So, you know, in terms of industrial office research park, we're looking at roughly the same acreage, plus or minus 20. In addition to the live where you work, everybody has a lot of opinions about the live where you work. Some think it works, some think that it doesn't. We like to think that we're giving it the potential to work. If you don't provide live where you work homes near businesses, there's no chance for it to work. We like to think that we're given that an opportunity here. In addition to the types of projects that KRM is looking at, they're very high quality brick businesses. IORP provides industrial office research park. Office buildings could be doctor's offices, could be hotel, could be restaurant. It's a multitude of types of businesses there. And this type of project lends itself to that quality, it would be a good quality project, boulevard, circle, lots of buffer, lots of landscape, lots of berms, lots of open space. We like to think it's going to be a good quality project. This rezoning is the first step. We would like to also point out, because it wasn't mentioned earlier in the public hearing, the different support that we received for the project. The state of Delaware obviously supported the project through the PLUS process. I don't even know how many agencies are involved in PLUS, 10-plus agencies are involved in that. The Planning Commission did support the project and did vote in favor of the rezoning. Secondly, we had met with DelDOT, who was supportive of the project. We've also met with DEDO, Delaware Economic Development Office, who was supportive of the project, and the staff did recommend approval of the rezoning as well. I guess we'd like to ask if there are any reservations with the rezoning. You could table the project. We could come back. We could show you the types of businesses that KRM has developed in the past and show you the mix between the commercial or the business park and the residential, and that the business park can blend itself with the residential, and it can be a good quality product. That's it.
Do you have a comment, Mr. Hogg?
I guess my only comment, I think one of you actually asked this earlier or mentioned this earlier. Given the way the process works and the fact that they also have pending before you an annexation to complete the project, which actually makes the whole thing work, I think I heard them say, I won't put words in their mouth, that they would be amenable to coming back at the next meeting and with some additional information and making a presentation to council again, and staff would certainly suggest that that's an appropriate action, particularly given the concern that some of you had about this whole notion of mixed use. And
so you're suggesting tabling?
I would suggest that if council's agreeable that we reschedule this, table it and reschedule it for the next council meeting and allow them to elaborate on their plans, maybe with some additional renderings and what have you.
I don't have a problem tabling it, but because I would like to see
this livable where you work at because of the committees that I have been on with Chamber of Commerce. You know, it's something that they're trying to get started to try to keep our people in Smyrna employed. You know, employed here and live here at the same time. But knowing these guys with over in Chestertown, I have seen some nice houses that they have built. I will make a motion to table it if we have to.
Is there a second?
Having been, a quick comment, having been the only one that really raised an objection to this, I would be more than happy to see what you got in mind. Because I think I'm aware of your product, but I'm not positive. So I would like to see it.
If I may ask a question, do you want to get your second first? Or
second?
I'll second that.
If I may ask you, gentlemen, what would a couple of weeks' wait do to you? Can you live with that? Can you live with us taking a couple of weeks to look at this project? Okay, thank you. Because that's my only objection is this is a very big, large thing, and I'd like to be able to look at it a little more carefully.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, this project was presented as an industrial project, and then we kind of switched horses a bit. And I think we're discussing the impact of all these homes in our town, and the school district is very concerned, and that sort of thing. And it's sort of like if you had come to us with this plan originally, I think we could have gnashed it out a little bit differently. But now that we're kind of changing, I think we need to digest this a little bit more.
And again, we're missing two members tonight, unfortunately, so I think it would be better if we all had a good chance to look at it.
What's the pleasure of council? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Two and three.
That was for both.
Yeah, that basically covers two and three because there's no reason to take it. You can't take any other action at this point.
9B, discussion reference, canoe instruction and the canoe race. Mr. Hugger, you want to cover that?
Actually, I'm going to defer to Mr. Mullen.
I had this put on the agenda, and it's something that actually I've been thinking about for a couple of years now. We've all talked about the lake and the park at the lake and the underusage of that area and the lake in general. And being an avid canoer and anything else that floats just about, I decided a couple of years ago that I would love to do a canoe instruction at the town park area. It'll be a free class. Boats, canoes will be provided by the county and the state. And we also kind of thought about having a canoe race after the canoe instructions. There's quite a few folks in town that like enjoy paddling, and a race is a lot of fun. Gets folks out to the park, and it's a good time and very, very cheap to do. And the third part of it is a basically, in anything that floats, call it a regatta if you want, whatever you want to call it, just a parade, just paddling around the lake, paddling or motoring or.
Are you?
Do
you need any help with?
Actually, no. We have a committee set up that has done pretty much all the legwork. We had the boats all arranged. They're all spoken for, and we were thinking about the date of September 2nd, which is a Saturday, Labor Day weekend. The only thing is, it would be a town event if we use a town park, if I'm correct, which is fine. We're going to go to local businesses for a little support. We can do that, right? I believe.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Well, Gene, will you put this on notice or something where people will?
Yeah, we're going to advertise it, hopefully.
Yeah, people with life jackets and all that.
Everything will be provided. Any boat that's in, it's either in the canoe race or the regatta, everyone will be required to wear life jackets or at least have them. Everybody will be required to go by the state rules as far as that goes.
Well, I'd like to see this become something. I like the idea of it, and it becomes something that is definitely sanctioned by the town. Therefore, I think the most appropriate thing to do would be to ask to send it to the Parks and Recreation Committee. They have a certain budget. It's not a large one, but there are some funds available over there. And I think that they may be that, you know, that might be the best way to handle this.
I'll ask again, do you need help funding this?
Probably
other than advertising,
we'll probably need a little bit, but very, very little staff time and maybe a very little bit of funding.
I think one of the real benefits of this being a town event is that it makes it a whole lot easier for me to commit Public Works and others to, you know, to participate, to help out, and insurance is a lot easier issue for.
Well, since we don't have a lot of time, September 2nd is going to be here before we know. Why don't we approve it tonight?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason.
I don't have a problem with it.
Make a motion?
Sure. I'll make a motion that we have a, what do you call it? A canoe instruction and canoe race and regatta September 2nd.
Nautical event.
A nautical event. There you go. At the town park located on Lake Como.
And that this would be sponsored by the town of Smyrna.
And it'll be sponsored by the town of Smyrna Parks and Recreation.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Recommendations of the personnel committee, Mr. Hug.
I brought to the personnel committee a request that council waive the specific education requirement in order to allow me to make an offer to the current acting director of Public Works to take the position of director of Public Works on a permanent basis. Council needs to approve that waiver. We considered it. I'm sorry, Mr. Presley, I'm stealing your...
That's all right.
Those of us that were present the other night...
At
the personnel committee, considered and discussed this, but... it is an action that council needs to take.
We actually wanted to do it that night so Darryl didn't change his mind. So.
That would probably have been a good plan.
Having been there and involved extensively in these discussions and feeling very confident in Darryl's abilities, I want to make a motion that we approve the recommendation from the personnel committee referring to the director of public works regarding the educational requirement and amend the job requirements thusly.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. Anything else?
Yes. Several things. One is, in our packet, we have the new municipal election bill that was just passed by the state. And it was an opinion by Mr. J. Work that basically states two things. One is that to the extent the bill is inconsistent with the town charter, the state statute controls, and that the state statute applies to elections held more than 365 days from the enactment of this statute, which means it will not apply to our 07 election unless we adopt this. And what I would suggest is that I think we should put this on the agenda for our next meeting to adopt the state regulations as our regulations for the town of Smyrna.
If you don't mind, what I would suggest is that it's appropriate to put that on the agenda. One of the things that Mr. J. Work's firm is doing is actually doing a punch list of what we need to change, where our charter may or may not be consistent. So, with the understanding that if that isn't available to next meeting.
Well, I guess I'm looking at this. I mean, basically, we could adopt it in toto, I think. I believe that. Without
even
a punch list.
Well, I think so. But
we have to wait, Dave, until they get
Why don't we put it on the agenda and see if they make the date?
I think there are probably some situations where our charter is more restrictive than the state law. And I would feel more comfortable if we at least knew where we were making changes and could do that consistently. That's my only point.
Is that possible for the next meeting?
Well, fortunately, we also have 9 months. We're not under the gun to do this change.
But
so,
I'll list it on the agenda. We'll put it on the agenda and then defer to Terry.
Well, I think we ought to get the ball rolling.
Okay.
The second thing is the Ethics Committee gave us a report. The Ethics
The draft committee.
Yes. What is the status of that, and do we need to?
No, you will. You have a workshop scheduled at 6:30 on August the 7th, before the next council meeting, for purposes of a presentation by the drafting committee, and that was originally scheduled for this evening, again because of the absence of Mrs. White and, as it turns out, Mr. Evans. We postponed that.
And lastly, I mentioned that the town ought to provide a plaque to Mr. Hill and Mr. Burt for their fine service to our town. I was wondering what the status of that could be.
Go ahead, smack my wrist. I will get that done, sir.
Great, thank you.
Anything else? A motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're taking over for this evening.